It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
About our skies and what's occurring in them, the Tennessee bill to ban climate engineering has now passed the House as well as the Senate and is waiting for the governor to sign it into law. Will he? More coming in a moment. Stay tuned. How's your weather? How's the weather around the world? Are the increasingly freak flash fluctuations in weather and temperatures just random acts of nature? Or are there elements in this equation which the powers that shouldn't be will try to hide from public view with every means at their disposal until the last possible moment before total collapse? Elements that pose an extremely near-term existential threat to all of us. Who is actually in control of the planetary asylum? And even more alarming than the database conclusion that the entire matrix is controlled by the clinically insane is the realization that the vast majority of the population has so far chosen to keep their collective heads buried in the sand with their eyes wide shut, occasionally belching out the power structure programmed response of conspiracy theory when any unpleasant and unwanted truths come into their far too narrow field of vision. Snow fell late this week near San Francisco, or should I say chemically nucleated frozen material fell. And the same also occurred Thursday night at my off-grid home on the east side of Lake Shasta after it was 80 degrees on Tuesday. As expected, the super sensationalized Matrix media headlines followed. But what don't the vast majority see? Or know? Because they aren't being told and they aren't yet investigating. Because far too many don't want to know the truth. They want to be lied to. They want to believe that the loot, plunder, pillage, and pollute party will continue forever. But that's not going to happen. Our best odds lie in facing the gathering storm head on. Shocking headlines coming, the kind that few want to hear and fewer still want to believe. But very soon, chosen beliefs and ideologies will no longer be an option. Reality will be beyond denial. From theconversation.com, climate engineering carries serious national security risks. Countries facing extreme heat may try it anyway, and the world needs to be prepared. That's the end of the headline. From the report, the only known method able to quickly arrest this temperature rise is climate engineering, they say. It's sometimes called geoengineering, sunlight reduction methods, or solar climate intervention, aka solar radiation management, solar radiation mitigation. They keep trying to change the terms to confuse the issue. Bottom line, it means spraying light scattering particles into our skies. Anyone look up lately? This report continues. One of the largest concerns for many countries when it comes to climate change is national security. That doesn't just mean wars. It means risks to food, energy, and water supplies also, which are, again, national security issues, as is climate-induced migration. Again, this is all from the Conversation.com report. Here's my question. Do they mean, like right now? Not just at our southern border, but many borders all over the world. Mass migration is well underway, but it's only just beginning. Wait and see. The Conversation.com report continues with this. Climate engineering is expected to be cheap relative to the cost of ending greenhouse gas emissions. Let's stop there for a moment. How cheap is it to completely destroy your planet's life support systems and turn your former miraculous home into a lifeless ball of rock spinning in the harsh expanse of space? Is that cheap? What a mindless, moronic species we are at times, so many within the ranks of our species. I'm not singling out everybody, of course. I'm very grateful for the exceptions, but there are too few. There need to be more. The climate doesn't respect national borders, the report says, so a climate engineering project in one country is likely to affect temperatures and rainfall in neighboring countries. There's no likely. There's no could, may, might. When you disrupt the climate system in one part of the world, it affects the entire world, period. There's no ambiguity here. They then say that could be good or bad for crops, water supplies, and food risks. It could also have widespread unintended consequences, you think? Like the consequences they never mention? Like, where does all that toxic fallout go? How much toxic fallout? Based on extrapolations from our rain tests, it appears that somewhere in the range of 40 to 60 million tons of toxic nanoparticles are being dispersed into skies annually. How much material do you think it takes to cover the entire skyline with a filthy, dirty, white canopy that we so often see, even when the storm clouds at lower levels break what's above it so often? Stripes and canopy. It's not nature. It's not condensation. Condensation doesn't do that. When you're breathing on a cold day, do you have a cloud form above your head and stay there? We have up-close film footage and photos of these nozzles on aircraft, retrofit nozzles in the wing pylons aimed into the exhaust jet stream to make this look like, quote, condensation. It is not condensation. Aircraft with their transponders turned off. Only the military can do that. And countless flights over regions and in directions that are not commercial corridors. Obviously, this is going on. It's a climate engineering Manhattan project, and it is completely irrational to deny it at this point. And we'll get to the Tennessee, courageous Tennessee legislators that have moved this fight forward in a moment. So while chemically nucleated frozen material was falling from the skies near San Francisco late this week and near my home, here's a global snapshot that no one wants to hear and many will choose to deny. New from weather.com and other sources as well. Earth's warmest March is 10th straight record month. Just released data shows. So, is it actually this bad? No. It's actually far worse than this bad. Data falsification and chemical ice nucleation operations and the temporary toxic surface cooldowns they create are masking much of the warming for the moment. As terrestrial and aquatic ecosystems continue to decline and die from the toxic climate engineering fallout, every single drop of rain on planet Earth is now toxic. And that's not my opinion. Peer-reviewed, lab-test-proven fact. Anyone who takes the time to research this will find this data. And it's not just industrialized pollution, but also climate engineering fallout. Try not to breathe. Again, we just passed a 10th record-breaking month in a row, the 556th consecutive month of above-average global temperatures based on pre-industrial baselines. And to all those still clinging to the mind-numbingly false coming ice age narrative, I ask this, please, help us to actually expose climate engineering and the damage it is inflicting on the planet, total contamination and meltdown. Instead of propagating the exact narrative the climate engineers and the controllers want the public to parrot, quote, we're entering an ice age, end quote. Perhaps in an alternate reality, but it isn't this one. It isn't this planet, and it isn't now. Climate intervention operations are pushing us all from the proverbial frying pan into the fire, while poisoning everything on the planet in the process. So, how many think that the criminal cabal, masquerading as our government and other governments around the world, there's no difference between them, would ask for public permission before using weather as a weapon? No, they will never admit to their activities. The liability issues are far beyond incalculable and growing by the day. But courage is also growing. Some Tennessee lawmakers are proof. Here's a headline. Tennessee lawmakers give final approval to, quote, chemtrails bill. That's from the Tennessean.com. The author is Melissa Brown. This report says the bill has been criticized as codifying a ban on, quote, chemtrails, a widely debunked conspiracy theory. God, I just want to hurl when I hear that term from the factless and fearful that belch it out. That the federal government is spreading chemicals for nefarious reasons through House sponsor Republican Monty Fritz. That's from Kingston in Tennessee. He said he brought the bill due to ongoing weather and climate control practices. Let's stop there. As I covered last week as well, nowhere in this bill or the presentation by Representative Monty Fritz was the word chemtrails used. Monty Fritz stood on rock solid hard science ground with the bill and his presentation of it. Only science data and terms were used. Yet, Matrix Media so-called journalists did their best to marginalize what their paymasters don't want the public to wake up to. I had a very productive conversation with Representative Monty Fritz on Thursday of this week and another conversation with his top aide. Courageous, intelligent, honest, assertive, such rare qualities amongst the ranks of government on both sides of the orchestrated political divide. Representative Fritz and his aide Nicole both possess these qualities. Let's keep going. New from ABC News, Tennessee lawmakers vote to ban geoengineering with allusions to, quote, chemtrails conspiracy theory. How blatantly obvious can it be that this is the instant marginalization buzzword that Matrix Media insists on using, insists that we use, so that anybody who's new to this issue goes to Google and searches this term and comes straight to conspiracy theory and hoax and not science? It's not hard to see how the chess game is being played, is it? From the very inception of geoengineeringwatch.org, I have stressed that point. Stick to the science terms so you can't be instantly marginalized with the term that's meant to marginalize you. If you're talking in personal conversation, use whatever term you want. But we're playing chess. We need to learn how to play well. Use the science terms. And that's exactly what Representative Fritz did. ABC report Evan Bush then stated this: the chemtrails theory is a loose grouping of unfounded ideas that suggest planes are not making trails of condensation, known as contrails, but instead are spraying government-made chemicals to control people's behavior or affect their bodies. Where in the world did you get this, Evan Bush? The term was never used by anybody who moved this legislation forward. This is all your own concocted nonsense. Who's paying your bills, Evan? Do you just make it up as you go? Again, nor in the Tennessee bill or the presentation of it were any such claims ever made. Evan Bush is, we are told, a science reporter for NBC News. He can be reached at evan.bush@nbcuni.com. Perhaps it would be helpful and productive to send Evan Bush a link to geoengineeringwatch.org or our groundbreaking documentary, The Dimming, and ask him why he is criminally obfuscating the truth. About obfuscating the truth and the Tennessee House hearing. There was a clearly coordinated clown show by four Democrats, so-called representatives of the people, in the criminal attempt to marginalize an issue of unbelievably grave importance that is a near-term existential threat. Antonio Parkinson, John Ray Clemens, Justin Pearson, and Bo Mitchell. In the hearing, these four literally tried to pass an amendment about Bigfoot, trying to compare that subject with the dire issue of global climate engineering. Please search and view the Tennessee House hearing from Monday of this week. It is available online, and perhaps your blood will boil as mine did watching the four mindless morons I just named doing the bidding of the controllers in their attempt to marginalize this dire issue of global climate intervention operations, aka weather warfare. And as I believe I mentioned last week in the earlier hearing, the Senate of Tennessee, there was a Democrat representative, Justin Jones, that couldn't seem to mentally think his way past the Matrix Media labeling of geoengineering as, quote, chemtrails conspiracy theory, even though geoengineering is being discussed about a dozen new articles every single day from every science institution all over the planet, pretending that we need to do this immediately, but we're not seeing what we're actually seeing in our skies. Insane asylum, all of it. But Justin Jones, again, buying into the Matrix Media conspiracy theory mantra without an apparent single investigation of any of it. But for the record, such denial and willful idiocy is in no way a partisan issue. Here in Northern California, I've experienced a mountain of it, criminal denial to my face and to the public, from Governor Gavin Newsom to U.S. Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Search geoengineeringwatch.org confronting a U.S. congressman about climate engineering, and you can see it all in video for yourself. It's not a partisan issue. There is more than enough stupidity to go around on all sides of the orchestrated divide. But thank God there are exceptions, and Monty Fritz is a stunning example of an exception to the norm in our criminal cabal masquerading as a legitimate government. Tennessee passes chemtrail bill banning airborne chemicals. That's from BBC. More of the same. The bill forbids, quote, intentional injection, release, or dispersion of chemicals into the air. It doesn't explicitly mention chemtrails. That's BBC stating that on their own, to their credit, which conspiracy theorists believe are poisons spread by planes. I don't have the words for this anymore. Instead, it broadly prohibits affecting temperature, weather, and the intensity of sunlight. Is that not reasonable? How many people want their weather, temperature, or sunlight interfered with? Is it not reasonable to pass a bill to ban that. And yes, though, enforcement of this over a particular state would be very difficult. That's not the point. The point is awareness. The point is reaching a critical mass of awareness. And I would argue the moment we do that, and this bill and those behind it help so much to reach this critical mass that's so desperately needed. If populations don't wake up and respond to this kind of assault against the entire web of life, their health, their children, and any future they might have otherwise had, then we're definitely doomed. But in fact, many are beginning to wake up and many are beginning to respond, and not a moment too soon. The BBC report continues with this. Scott Banbury, conservation director of the States branch of the Sierra Club, an environmental organization, very hypocritical one, said this. As a serious environmental organization, if what was in the bill was actually going on, we would be calling for a stop to it, he said. It's not happening, quote unquote. How in the world would you have any clue about that, Scott? And I know your organization is the epitome of hypocrisy because our attorneys at geoengineeringwatch.org have contacted Sierra Club attorneys in the past, along with every other major environmental group, and told by those groups' attorneys that they don't want to deal with this issue because they don't want to lose their 501 nonprofit. How hypocritical is that? And people like Scott Banbury of the Sierra Club should be, I would argue, sent again links to geoengineeringwatch.org, the dimming, and asked why they are pretending that this isn't happening in our skies. Moving on to a core component of climate engineering that far too few understand or are aware of. Chemical ice nucleation cloud seeding operations, patented processes that produce a short-term toxic surface cool down with endothermic reacting elements, aka energy-absorbing elements. And this amounts to engineering winter while most of the world spirals into total meltdown. As mentioned in my last broadcast, Mongolia is also bearing the brunt of chemical flash freeze operations. The most recent estimates of the damage indicate that as many as 20 million animals may perish by the end of this month, livestock and wild animals. And if this isn't winter weather warfare, what is? Let's keep going. From AccuWeather, massive snowstorm cuts power to hundreds of thousands from Wisconsin to Maine. From that report, a strengthening nor'easter will continue to unload heavy snow that will clog roads and also bring down trees and power lines in northern New England and upstate New York. This is a low pressure that has been sitting and spinning, almost stationary, and pumping water from the record warm Atlantic that somehow magically turns to frozen precipitation the moment it enters over land. It's not nature. It's chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. From SanFranciscoGate.com, anomalously cold storm poised to deliver low elevation snow across California, both coasts. This is happening. Also from AccuWeather, one of the many Matrix-owned climate engineering cover-up agencies, coldest storm of winter and spring to dump snow in California. Does that make any sense? We're having the, quote, coldest storm of the winter and it's spring. The report says the coldest storm of the winter and early spring season will affect California with chilly rain, low snow levels, and thunderstorms into the weekend. California residents and southwestern United States motorists should be prepared for slippery travel over the passes, while some thunderstorms associated with a storm system could be feisty, they say. Yes, the theaterized scheduled weather script from so-called AccuWeather. Feisty thunderstorms and super slippery surfactant-soaked snow. Please search and review the Engineering Winter section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org to learn so much more. And as I've stated in previous broadcasts now, every single year, for many of the most recent years, after very warm winters, this was the warmest ever recorded, in comes the chemically nucleated frozen material to destroy whatever's bloomed and budded and wipe out what little agriculture we have left. Is it just a coincidence that it keeps happening over and over again and again in so many places? Flash freeze, flash hail, or we have flash drought, sometimes flash flooding, agriculture being wiped out, so many locations. And another from SanFranciscoGate.com. This snow falls across Bay Area peaks in rare, unusually cold spring storm. Never mind that it was 80 a couple days ago. Forget that. Nothing to see here, right? On Wednesday of this week, which was the day after it was 80 degrees, in the wilderness of Shasta County on the east side of Lake Shasta where I live off-grid, convective clouds were forming overhead and the air was still, but a nonstop parade of jets could easily be heard above the deck of clouds. Even moving from west to east, and none of this is in the commercial air traffic corridors, and though it was late afternoon and still over 50 degrees, soon enough, the frozen material began to fall, and some of it was near marble size, the largest hail I've yet seen in this region where I've lived for 24 years. And of course, the following night, Thursday p.m., though not scheduled, snow fell. Again, 80 degrees 2 days earlier. About the jet stream over the U.S., completely bizarre. If you've looked at the front of an engine and a fan belt and how it loops clockwise around some pulleys and counterclockwise around others, picture that as the jet stream, because that's basically what it looks like. So we had a jet stream that was manipulated around numerous atmospheric pressure zones with ionosphere heaters and other forms of frequency transmission are fully capable of creating. It came from north to south down the western side of the North American continent and looped counterclockwise around a low pressure zone, back north all the way to the Canadian border, then clockwise around a high pressure rotating zone. High pressures in the northern hemisphere rotate clockwise, back south again and counterclockwise around another low pressure, and then back up the east coast and then wrapping around another counterclockwise rotating low pressure, which is pumping the moisture into the northeast, into parts of New York and Maine. And all that moisture again, miraculously, even though it's being pumped right off the record warm Atlantic, turning to frozen material as soon as it got over land. And this snow no longer having anything to do with elevation in so many cases, and falling in so many cases, starting to fall at well above freezing temperatures, continuing to fall at well above freezing temperatures. If it goes on long enough, the temperatures do drop. This is a very chemically reactive material and creates very cold layers of air that descend to the surface, and if it continues long enough, it drops temperatures further and further. But now the climate engineering cover-up agencies routinely show snow falling at temperatures way above freezing, and no one questions it. Why not? And to those that think the chemical cold will last, not so much. The heat is coming for us all. Wait and see. In a moment, what are we inhaling with every breath we take, and what's it doing to us, slowly but surely? This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the weekly installment of the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Report, The End of the World as We Know It, broadcast brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, the largest and most visited website in the world on the subject of global climate engineering operations, a.k.a. weather warfare. Reaching a critical mass of awareness is the only way forward in this fight. We can, we must, reach a critical mass by starting a conversation on the climate engineering issue that leads people to a credible source of data. Geoengineeringwatch.org will continue all of our efforts to be the go-to source on covert climate engineering operations if we can fully expose weather warfare. So many other truths will be forced to the full light of day with it. Moving on to more not-so-pleasant points to ponder, here's a question. What quantity of nanoparticles are we inhaling with every breath we take? From weather.com, aka the Weather Channel, air pollution, one of top three risk factors for dementia, study shows. Let's add this from Psychology Today. Air pollution and Alzheimer's disease, from that report. Have we ever gone outside, the report says, taken a deep breath in and abruptly discovered that the air was not exactly what you expected? Question mark. They continue, instead of spring flowers, the air smells like smoke and car exhaust, or other things we hear from many people around the world. They say, almost thick enough to taste, you may have found yourself wondering how breathing all of this could possibly be good for you. Of course, it's not. And you're right. This isn't good for you. They then say, the study focused on this last component of air pollution, especially on very fine particulate matter called PM2.5. Let's stop there. What are they leaving out? No mention, no metering for, no disclosure of nanoparticle pollution. How much nanoparticle pollution, again, as mentioned earlier in this broadcast and many other broadcasts, based on hundreds of lab tests over a specific U.S. state and extrapolating the material net rain globally, it appears as if somewhere in the range of 40 to 60 million tons of this type of nanoparticle pollution is being dispersed annually and not being tested for, let alone disclosed. The report from Psychology Today continues with this. Particulate matter is labeled by the diameter of the particles in the air. PM2.5, they say, is tiny, with a diameter of 2.5 microns or less, finer than a human hair, which measures a relatively hefty 50 to 70 microns across. How many nanoparticles can you put across the width of a single human hair? About 100,000. try to consider how small these particles are, and the smaller they are, the more harmful they are. It doesn't matter the element, and we're talking about toxic elements, which makes it worse. They then say the California Air Resources Board reports that car and truck emissions are responsible for much of the PM2.5. Let's stop there again. I've spoken in front of the entire car board with a room full of farmers that were being forced to change the engines in their equipment for PM2.5 or larger particle pollution, and I confronted the board about their lack of investigation, let alone disclosure, for climate engineering operations that were dispersing the materials I've already described. And what was the response? It's not in our jurisdiction, therefore we don't care. Think about that. The CAR Board, California Air Resources Board, doesn't care what climate engineers disperse in our skies, because as I reported in last week's broadcast, you only need to fill out a single basic page, one page, 10 days before you want to spray something into the atmosphere. There's no regulation whatsoever by design. By design. Think about that. They can make farmers change all the engines in their vehicles and do everything else they do with generators that have a CO2 sensor on them that makes them totally dysfunctional, but they don't care what that military tanker might be dispersing in our skies, 100 tons per payload, because it's not in their jurisdiction. Think of the absurdity of all this. With all that in mind, let's bounce back to a bit more on the desperate attempts of Matrix Media to marginalize the heroic efforts of some Tennessee lawmakers. From the Washington Post, GOP lawmakers are fueling a conspiracy theory without mentioning, quote, chemtrails. Of course, they don't need to, because all the Matrix Media mentions it for them. The baseless chemtrail accusation is going increasingly mainstream. That's part of the headline. By Shannon Osaka. Keep that name in mind. Reports as Republican state lawmakers are going after a new threat they say could cause harm to the environment and playing into a baseless claim at the same time. A Tennessee bill passed by the state Senate last week, lawmakers targeted geoengineering, an experimental controversial practice not yet in use. She says she provides no proof for the statement. None. Just like the Sierra Club member I mentioned earlier, no proof. Climate engineering isn't happening because they say it isn't happening. The report continues. Now the confusion between solar geoengineering and chemtrails threatens to muddy the waters around geoengineering research. That's what this report says. Chilling potential studies, scientists say it's the latest example of how spreaders of disinformation can latch on to reality to pursue their agenda, confounding public opinion on the issue. Stop and think about this. The entire climate science community all over the world describing exactly what we see in our skies that they say we need to do immediately to put jet aircraft in the sky to spray light scattering particles, which will cover the sky with a dirty, filthy looking cloud canopy, which will disrupt the hydrological cycle, which will destroy the ozone layer. All of it happening right now in real time. And we have this kind of criminal reporting. It's criminal, is it not? Based on all law, if you're helping to hide a crime, you're a part of the crime. How is this any different? The report then says, also last week, Pennsylvania State Senator Doug Mastriano, who has posted on social media about the chemtrail accusation, announced in a memo his intention to propose legislation to mirror the Tennessee bill, and that is the correct bill to mirror. The Tennessee bill is done correctly, effectively. Very simple and inarguable, and that is the bill that should be mirrored everywhere else. And now let's add this from another primary climate engineering cover-up actor. Remember this name. Here's her statement. This is part of the article from the Washington Post. Here's the quote. In my view, the basic idea has morphed. This is a statement from Holly Jean Buck, a professor of environment and sustainability at the University of Buffalo. And this also from Holly Jean Buck, an interview with Dane Wigington of geoengineeringwatch.org. I'll get to that part in a moment, but the Post's author, Shannon Osaka, continues with this. Those lines are, in fact, airline contrails or condensation trails created by the warm air from the aircraft engine interacting with blah, blah, blah. We all know the mantra. No proof presented in this. It's because Shannon Osaka from the Washington Post says so. She continues with this. In the last few years, however, experts say the claim has changed. Some now say that chemtrails are being used to carry out solar geoengineering. That's what we've always said at geoengineeringwatch.org. And that researchers and government employees investigating solar geoengineering are part of the larger scheme. Let's stop and consider that one for a moment. When you have an illegal federal gag order on all National Weather Service and all National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration employees, something is definitely very wrong, isn't it? The Post report continues with this. In recent years, it's shifted quite a bit toward the idea that climate, geoengineering, or solar radiation management is actually happening and involving various chemicals. That's a statement from Holly Jean Buck again. Gernot Wagner, another primary face of climate engineering cover-up, as a climate economist at the Columbia Business School said, his research has shown that most of the geoengineering discussion on social media involves disinformation because he says so. No proof offered again and again and again because he's an official representative of the Matrix. And I've met this individual as well at an international conference, along with the conference with the most recognized geoengineer, David Keith, who you can see on film and on the record in the Geoengineering Watch documentary, The Dimming, stating, when I confronted him at an international conference, had he done any studies at his proposal of dumping tens of millions of tons of aluminum nanoparticles into the atmosphere annually, his first response was, we've studied atmosphere, particulate matter. There's a lot up there. I'm paraphrasing, a little more won't hurt. When I cornered him on that material is not aluminum. Have you studied aluminum? What did he say? He said, we haven't studied aluminum. Could terrible things happen tomorrow? We don't know. What kind of a statement is that from the world's most recognized geoengineer? These people are not invested in the truth in any way, shape, or form. The Washington Post article then continues with this, with Holly Jean Buck of the University of Buffalo stating this, chemtrail groups have begun to organize themselves like a social movement, filing lawsuits. That would be referring to us at geoengineeringwatch.org. We sued Dr. Douglas McMartin for his part in trying to censor this issue. And though the system sided with their own, as we expected, some of these climate scientists now know that geoengineeringwatch.org will not sit in the sidelines and allow them to marginalize this issue on which everything depends. That's criminal. Buck continues, and getting legislation proposed, which thankfully is moving forward. And notice Holly Jean Buck emphatically sticks to the chemtrails term. She did exactly the same when she interviewed me in 2017, even falsely accusing me of formerly using the term in my research. And when I called her out on that false accusation, she had zero reply. It's all in the full transcript of the interview. Again, titled An Interview with Dane Wigington of Geoengineering Watch by Holly Jean Buck. Buck and the Washington Post report finishes with this. Quote, they're using the same tactics that other social movements use, Buck explained, and that is to say that this is not a fringe movement, but a real political force, end quote. Yes, exactly. A, quote, real political force by sticking to the science and the science terminology, exactly what the controllers have never wanted and are doing their best to marginalize with criminal cover-up propaganda like that which I just covered from Shannon Osaka and Holly Jean Buck. Now let's add this from the UK Guardian. Everybody has a breaking point, how the climate crisis affects our brains. The report says, our growing rates of anxiety, depression, ADHD, PTSD, Alzheimer's, and motor neuron disease related to rising temperatures and other extreme environmental changes, question mark. The Guardian report then continues with this. Cognitive neuroscientists have charted the routes by which extreme heat and surging CO2 levels impair decision-making, diminish problem-solving abilities, and short-circuit our capacity to learn. Neuroscientists point to a variety of routes through which extreme heat can act on behavior. They continue, an increase of a single degree centigrade can activate a multitude of biochemical pathways associated with neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. Air pollution does the same thing, they say. And what part of the air pollution are they not disclosing? No official agency is disclosing nanoparticle pollution, completely under the radar. How can you have any legitimate discussion about any of these issues when such a massive piece of the puzzle is being intentionally left out of the equation? And though available data indicates that commercial pilots are not directly involved with the ongoing climate engineering operations, they should absolutely know what is occurring in our airspace, and in fact, many do. Some are communicating directly with geoengineeringwatch.org. Commercial pilots, whom we supply our 20-page printed fact and photo summary booklets to, and they are leaving them covertly in pilot lunchrooms and other locations trying to raise awareness. And if a commercial pilot denies that there's anything wrong in our skies, the descriptions of clueless and or dishonest come to mind. Consider this chain of coincidences. On Monday, the Tennessee House approves a bill to ban geoengineering operations over its state. And how was the weather in Tennessee in the days that followed? Here's a headline example, in fact, several. From the Washington Post, Weather Service radar warning systems failed during severe storm outbreak. Tennessee involved with that, by the way. From Fox News, local meteorologists left in the dark during National Weather Service radar outage. From KSDK.com, when a tornado touched down, the weather radar was offline. Meteorologists are trying to figure out why. Obviously, it's impossible to decipher what exactly is occurring in your airspace when the entire monitoring network suddenly shuts down, and no one seems to know why. Imagine that. Nothing to see here. Move along. You're listening to the weekly installment of Global Alert News, the Bad News Broadcast, installment number 452, April 6th, 2024. This is Dean Wigington, your host. Global Alert News is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, the largest and most visited website in the world on the subject of climate intervention operations known as geoengineering. The commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Hour is broadcast on numerous AM and FM stations throughout the country. Recordings of this broadcast can be found on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent column and on the Dane Wigington YouTube channel. Geoengineering Watch wishes to express our deepest gratitude to those that have helped us to expand our reach and thus our voice in this desperate last-hour effort to sound the alarm. On that subject, if you're on our email list, please put us on your email contact book so that our mailouts don't go to the spam files. Please help us to share the groundbreaking documentary, The Dimming, which fully exposes the climate engineering atrocities now with over 10 million views in spite of social media censorship. The best way to share is by circulating the direct link to The Dimming by email directly from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Sharing directly helps us to overcome social media censorship. When viewing our YouTube of The Dimming or Global Alert News or any other Geoengineering Watch video on YouTube, please subscribe, share, and comment, all of which helps us to circulate critically important data to a much wider audience. About reaching those that still aren't looking up, here's one way. Start a conversation with Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials, which can be found on our homepage. Our only goal, to provide activists what they need to move this fight forward. Extremely high-quality printed materials with shocking images. We provide these materials for less than our overall cost for producing and shipping. Our only goal, to get them into circulation as fast as possible. We have Geoengineering Watch hoodies and shirts with images on both sides. These are absolutely great conversation starters. Photos of both are on our homepage. We have scannable business cards and bumper stickers, all effective tools to help strike up a conversation on the climate engineering issue. Reaching a critical mass of awareness on the climate engineering onslaught is the great imperative of our time. If we can expose it, we can stop it from the inside out. As we awaken our military brothers and sisters to what they're participating in, their own demise and ours. If you're willing to share a picture of yourself with a Geoengineering Watch t-shirt or hoodie, perhaps at the local mall or market, somewhere busy, please send your photo to us so that we can post it as part of our activist compilation, which is now part of our materials page. The images encourage others to make their voices heard in this all-important battle to sound the alarm. To all those who are steadfastly committed to this must-win fight for all that matters, I want to express my deepest and most profound gratitude. It is our collective efforts that can absolutely still make a difference, even at this late hour. Moving on, from the StraitsTimes.com, quote, extremely active Atlantic hurricane season ahead, warn forecasters. There you have it, the scheduled weather. And while considering this forecast of the most active hurricane season prediction ever, remember and consider that the U.S. military first began its hurricane manipulation efforts all the way back in 1947 with Project Cirrus. Question, how far have they come with their technology in the last 77 years? For a clue, search geoengineeringwatch.org hurricanes. There are numerous posts with data and videos that will shock you. Please examine. Please investigate. Next, from HawkeyeMagazine.com, scientists are sweating over freakishly high marine heat. From that report, scientists are divided about the extraordinary temperatures of marine air. Worldwide, the heat above the land and sea was remarkable. Between February 8th and 11th, 2024, global temperatures were more than 2 degrees C above the 1850-1900 average. That's a gross understatement. We are likely above 3.5 C on average globally right now. They say over the month as a whole, Europe experienced heat that was 3.3 degrees C above that benchmark. That's getting closer. It has been record-breaking warm for an entire year, often by seemingly impossible margins, the report states. Let's keep moving. From PHYS.org, study suggests starvation decimated gray whales off the Pacific coast. Can the giants ever recover? Question mark. answer on the current course, not a chance. The report states, when large numbers of gray whales began washing up along North America's Pacific coast nearly 6 years ago, marine scientists could only speculate on the reason. Was it disease, ocean pollution, increasing ship collisions? Now, after more than 700 gray whales have washed ashore in Mexico, Canada, California, and other states since late 2018, new research published in PLOS suggests the culprit was a critical drop in food availability in the mammals. Let's stop there, because when this happened in 2018, when this first began to be published, geoengineeringwatch.org stated on the record repeatedly, they have nothing to eat. The fisheries were being shut down along the North American West Coast already. Of course, it was a lack of food. How could it possibly take the so-called science community so many years to figure out what was patently obvious at the time, and what Geoengineering Watch stated on the record at the time? Same as we stated with the insect collapse in 2014. Insect populations were collapsing up to 80 to 90%, and we were marginalized by the so-called climate science community, and we got our data from former government scientists. And 10 years later, they've acknowledged what we stated so long before them. Search insect apocalypse to find out about that, and ask yourself, if the insects can't make it, how long do we think we're going to be here? And now this unimaginably magnificent creature, whale, which I've been about 3 feet from, it's an experience you can't fully describe. And to see them dying is absolutely heartbreaking to the core. The report then says the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration investigation recorded 690 dead whales. They continue on with their facts and figures, but then they end with this. These whales aren't going away. They're not going to go extinct, quote unquote. And how in the world would they know that when everything they tell us to pacify us until the brutal bitter end is wrong and far short of how bad it really is, again and again and again? In last week's broadcast and so many others before that, I've repeatedly tried to bring to light the plight of our oceans. They are superheating, stratifying, and dying. It's called Canfield Ocean. Please look it up. I specifically covered the massive and expanding hypoxic zones in and off the Pacific Northwest. With that in mind, from Smithsonian Magazine, it gets worse with the humpback whales. 7,000 humpback whales may have starved to death during the blob heat wave, and that's not some temporary condition. Because they've parked repeatedly a high-pressure heat dome, an ionosphere heater-induced high-pressure heat dome off the North American West Coast, that has what has fueled this ocean heat blob in that specific location. It changes everything in that location. Stops the prevailing winds, has compressing air over it, which produces even more heat. And none of this, of course, will ever be acknowledged by the so-called science community, because their paychecks and pensions depend on them not acknowledging it. And the only time they acknowledge even these horrific figures about the whale die-off is because they can no longer hide it. But it gets worse, and it's going to continue to get worse very quickly. Let's keep going. From NewsNation.com, smelly jellyfish-like creatures wash up on Oregon beaches. More die-off. From MercuryNews.com, millions of bizarre blue sea creatures wash up on Northern California beaches. They say mass die-offs have occurred around Point Reyes and Muir Beach near San Francisco, covering shorelines in crunchy, translucent membranes. On the other side of the country, the same. More jellyfish are appearing on Hilton Head beaches. From the Dhaka Tribune in Asia, jellyfish invasion threatens fishing industry. And there's this previous report from Honolulu Star. Giant jellyfish threaten Japanese fisheries. Consider that jellyfish can live in extremely low oxygen scenarios, hypoxic and anoxic zones. If they are dying, if they are floating to the surface and coating beaches, we are truly in uncharted territory, hurtling toward Canfield Ocean. From the dailymaverick.co, this headline, fishing down the food web, bye-bye big fish, hello jellyfish, and don't talk about conservation. The report says we've wiped out 90% of the ocean's large fish. I've been over that figure on this broadcast so many times. So many people don't want to believe it. There's confirmation, and it's even worse than that. And governments are unaware and underreporting how much the industry catches, with millions of tons being hauled out every year. It's a race to the bottom. It's a race to near-term planetary omnicide. Pelagic fish populations down about 90%. Insect populations down 80 to 90%. Plankton in the Atlantic down 90%. That's the base of the food chain on the planet. We have trees dying all over the globe. I'll try to get to that this broadcast if I can. And even in freshwater, we have big problems. From sciencealert.com, thousands of eels found dead in New Zealand, and it's not the first time. From that report, it's the second mast eel death in New Zealand this year, with thousands of dead adult eels found in another stream at the opposite end of the country from the first die-off. Been to New Zealand, seen and handled the eels, very unique creatures, everything dying. Let's keep going from CBC Canada. Alaska suspends fishing of Yukon River Chinook salmon for 7 years. Good luck, after 7 years, there'll be none left. Federal government, state of Alaska signed new agreement to help the species recover. Not going to recover in a dead ocean with superheating waters, fresh and salt, both. Let's add this. Scientists working to discover why fish in Florida are spinning themselves to death. Whenever part of this, I believe in last week's broadcast, there's a strange underwater mystery in the Florida Keys. Fish there are swimming in circles until they die. Now researchers are racing to figure out what's causing the bizarre behavior and how to stop it. Again, it's happening all over the world. Florida had ocean temperatures last year of almost 102 degrees. Gee, I wonder why the fish is dying. All the coral's dying. There's nothing to eat. There's toxic seaweed washing up on the beaches. There's flesh-eating bacteria mixed into that mess. Hydrogen sulfide-emitting bacteria. Where do I stop on this? Even now, the Carnival cruises and Club Med commercials continue. Parting on the planetary Titanic till the brutal bitter end. Back to the fish that are dying all over the world. It seems when the overall collapse of everything everywhere isn't killing them fast enough, there's always an accident to speed up the process. Just one example from this week that few heard about. Liquid nitrogen fertilizer spills kill nearly 750,000 fish in Iowa River, officials say. So many examples like this that so few hear about while we're watching political stupidity on every matrix media channel. And about the forest, yes, they're dying also by the day. From Earth.com, just a single degree of warming will wreak havoc in boreal forests. That's the headline. And that puts us in pretty bad condition, doesn't it? When we're likely past 3.5 degrees C since pre-industrial baselines right now. The report states boreal forests are vast ecosystems located in the northern regions of the globe, just below the Arctic Circle. These forests are characterized by their cold, harsh climates and short growing seasons. About boreal forests, they're primarily made up of coniferous trees such as pines, spruces, and firs, which are well adapted to the cold environment. Boreal forests cover large parts of Russia, Canada, Alaska, and Scandinavia, making them one of the world's largest biome types. These forests play a crucial role in Earth's climate system by acting as significant carbon sinks, the report says. But that's not true anymore, because they're now carbon sources due to the radical change in atmospheric chemistry and conditions like VPD, vapor pressure deficit, been over that many times in this broadcast, climate engineering completely altering atmospheric chemistry and relative humidity. So the stomata on these trees are now closing. They're not breathing, they're not respirating, they're not absorbing carbon, they're not releasing oxygen, they're dying a slow, protracted death, and now we have toxic precipitation contaminating the soils, killing the soil microbiome, killing the root systems, and thus we have trees dying all over the world. And now let's add the disintegrating ozone layer, to which climate engineering is the core component, which is frying the foliage, again contributing to VPD, vapor pressure deficit. From every conceivable direction, the walls are closing in. And the vast majority remain totally oblivious. No trees, no people. No plankton, no people. No fish, no people. How simple is this entire equation? And how long will so many people pretend nothing's wrong? Let's add this from Tufts University. Yet another example of, gee, it's way worse than we thought. Soil may release more carbon than expected, affecting climate change models. Some 80% of Earth's carbon is held in soil. Now droughts are causing the release of increased amounts of greenhouse gases. What's the single greatest drought-causing component on the planet? Climate engineering. That's not to say there wouldn't be droughts without it. I've never said that. I fully acknowledge that we have trashed the planet in too many ways to even begin to quantify. But the laws of physics make clear it must rain more overall on a rapidly warming planet. The atmosphere holds 7% more moisture for every degree C of warming. We are likely past 3.5 degrees C now. It should be raining much, much more. The reason it is not is climate engineering is completely derailing and disrupting the global hydrological cycle while contaminating the entire planet in the process. And yet we have the whole of the so-called climate science community pretending it isn't happening. Just stop and think for a moment about even the publicized so-called weather modification programs, a single engine propeller driven plane that drops a few kilos of material into a cloud. Never mind the KC-135 military tanker dropping 100 tons per payload. Forget about that. Consider the whole premise of modifying the weather to make it rain in one place. That means that rain didn't get wherever it was going. How clear can that be? And not to mention that all of the materials are toxic in all of these programs. Silver iodide is toxic as well. But people pretend in the climate science community that it's no big deal, right? It is a big deal. When you intervene in these systems, you derail the entire planetary process with very, very bad results, as we are clearly seeing now that we're hurtling toward extremely near-term planetary omnicide. Nothing lives. That's where we're headed. From the UK Guardian, vegetables are losing their nutrients. Can the decline be reversed? Here's more tech for us. A process called biofortification puts nutrients directly into seeds and could reduce global hunger, but it's not a magic bullet. Well, I never would imagine that. Couldn't be consequences to that, could there? It's just like climate engineering, not a magic bullet. Just a bullet, period. Connect the puzzle pieces. And how are GMO frankenfoods working out? Crops that grow twice as fast with less than half the nutrition, which is exponentially worse for you if you have to ingest more calories for the same nutrition, on top of the additional depleted nutrition from depleted soils. What's wrong with so many in the ranks of the human race? The collective insanity is truly mind-numbing, and it isn't just those cooking up and implementing the insane so-called techno-fixes for what tech caused in the first place. It's the majority of the masses that are either actively or passively participating. I recognize there are those that are just struggling to survive each and every day. I'm not talking about them. But those in first world nations that are still pursuing material gain and personal pleasures every day, that's the extent of their objectives and agendas. Well, the planet goes down in flames. Something's wrong with that picture. Very wrong. From ABC Australia, scientists warn Australians to prepare for mega droughts lasting more than 20 years. That would be the scheduled weather. Again, climate engineering, single greatest factor affecting the global hydrological cycle. No more chocolate soon. Chocolate's gone up about 400% because those crops are crashing also. Just a footnote for the general horizon. From 9news.au, extreme drought in southern Africa leaves millions hungry. From the report, the drought in Zimbabwe, neighboring Zambia, and Malawi has reached crisis levels. Zambia and Malawi have declared national disasters. Zimbabwe could be on the brink of doing the same. The drought has reached Botswana and Angola to the west, and Mozambique and Madagascar to the east. There is no legitimate discussion of climate anything, anywhere without first and foremost including climate intervention operations. Africa has been a victim of these for so many decades. The covert weapon of the controllers, drought out regions, bring populations to their knees and force governments to allow occupation of empire militaries. That's how it works, to extract resources for the extractive so-called civilization that's in its death throes at this very moment. From SaveTheChildren.net, Philippines heat wave forces hundreds of schools to shut with classes moved online to beat the heat. Don't hear much about that in the U.S., do we? Let's move to recent seismic activity, aka earthquakes, potential puzzle pieces. Let's connect these dots. From Reuters.com, just over a week ago, U.S. eyes change to military command in Japan as China threat looms, sources say. Let's add this. From AsiaNikkei.com, U.S. seeks to integrate Japan into defense industrial base. From Crisis24.com, Japan magnitude 6.1 offshore earthquake occurs east of Fukushima Prefecture. Let's add this about the recent earthquake in Taiwan. First, consider this NPR headline from just over a month ago. Skepticism grows in Taiwan over whether Washington is a reliable security partner. Now let's add this from the New York Times. Taiwan's doubts about America are growing. Then comes the Taiwan quake. New from Time Magazine. Photos of the devastation after the earthquake in Taiwan. New from the Weather Channel, Taiwan earthquake creates a surreal scene. Question, do microwave transmission tectonic weapons exist? Yes. Available science makes this clear. Next question, is it just a long and never-ending chain of coincidences that any time any country doesn't toe the line for empire or shows reluctance to doing so, the shaking starts? Turkey, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Haiti, New Zealand, Chile, Sri Lanka. I could go on, but you get the point. Anyway, again, all just amazing strings of coincidences. Really? You decide. But before coming to any conclusions, search and review this report. Under geoengineeringwatch.org, are microwave transmission weapons of mass destruction being used to trigger catastrophic earthquakes? And perhaps look somewhere besides Google, because they are doing their best to make it impossible to find our posts anywhere. Welcome to censorship. And on a final note, about the potential of tectonic weapons from northjersey.com. Friday's earthquake was the strongest in New Jersey since 1783, a look back at quake history. That's the headline. They then say the April 5th, 2024 earthquake was a once-in-a-lifetime event. Someone at newjersey.com needs to recheck their math. 241 years is much more than once-in-a-lifetime. Question, was a message being sent, a warning of the power that is possessed by the clinically insane controllers? You decide. And about the coming eclipse, is the predator parasite class planning on carrying out agendas and objectives under the guise of that event? We'll soon enough find out. I'm almost out of time for this broadcast, and speaking of being out of time, consider this headline. Another from the UK Guardian. Copernicus online portal offers terrifying view of climate emergency. It's not global warming, it's an abrupt climate collapse. The report says, looking at the mass of information, there is only one conclusion. We are running out of time. How true that is, and even now so few understand how little is left. So-called civilization built on a foundation of perpetual extraction, of finite resources on a finite planet. This can only end badly. Consider the following quote from Carl Jung, author of Modern Man in Search of a Soul. We are so full of apprehensions, fears, that we don't know exactly to what points. A great change of our psychological attitude is imminent. That is certain, because we need more understanding of human nature. Because the only real danger that exists is man himself. And we know nothing of man. His psyche should be studied, because we are the origin of all coming evil. We don't need an asteroid from space to wipe us out. We're doing just fine on our own. Also from Jung, your vision will become clear only when you can look into your own heart. Who looks outside? Dreams. Who looks inside? Awakens. As I've stated so many times on this broadcast, the only possessions we can truly call our own is our will, our honor, our virtue. All else can be taken. But these greatest of gifts were given to each of us by the Creator to guard, to protect, at all costs, until our last breath. And no matter how dark the horizon, we're here for a reason. It isn't an accident of fate. There's a purpose. The question that each of us must ask of ourselves is whether or not we will choose to do everything in our power to rise to the occasion, to the post which our Maker calls us at this late hour. There's much to do, and time isn't on our side. We cannot know the outcome, but each of us has the choice to embrace the solace that can only come from knowing at your core that you're doing everything in your power, given your individual circumstances, to see the horizon clearly and to take appropriate action, not just for personal preservation, but for the common good, for the good of the whole, which includes the web of life on which our lives completely and totally depend. If we collectively face the gathering storm head on, we can yet make a difference, even now. Check the activist suggestions link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for specific instructions on how you can help to move this fight forward. Every single one of us is needed in this critically important effort. Please make your voice heard. Make every day count. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington from geoengineeringwatch.org.